This podcast is brought to you by the Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier. The three-pack is back. The three-pack is a great value, and the top three uses for the air purifier are to eliminate odors, allergens, and air pollutants. Get the three-pack today at EdenPureDeals.com and put in code word Howie3.
The numbers are in. Listeners are voting often and early for Grace Curley, just like they did for her adopted grandfather. From year one to number one.
Make it so, number one.
The Millennial with the Mic is the most listened to midday show in Boston.
We got to bring in a new voice, a young voice, a rising voice, Grace Curley.
You can read Grace's work in the Boston Herald, the Spectator, and the Daily Mail. Now, live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
Get ready, pal.
It's Boston's number one midday show, The Grace Curley Show.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to The Grace Curley Show. So Joe Biden is back in Delaware, and he does this almost every weekend, Jared. Do you notice that? I feel like if this were Trump.
He's earned the weekend. You know, all the work he does, wringing his hands, eating ice cream, and pulling on cattails.
Well, let's not forget that when he goes away to Delaware, we don't get those logs. So we don't know who's visiting. We don't know what he's doing there.
I have an idea if it was visiting.
I feel like the guy in Wedding Crashers with his mom. I never know what she does back there. I don't know what she's doing. I never know what Joe Biden is doing. We never really see him. But something I wanted to talk about here before we get to your calls, just wait right there. I'm going to get to them in one sec. I want to read you some of this piece by Daniel Henninger. It's really, really good. And it's titled, Why Do Something on Gun Control Won't Work. And I'm going to tie this in to a couple sound bites, to a little bit of the conversation we've been having today. So bear with me. And I'm just going to go to the last page. He says, after George Floyd's murder, pressure built to do something about police accountability. Last week, President Biden issued an executive order with 19 accountability measures for federal police. Over Memorial Day weekend in Chicago, 51 people were shot with 9 killed. One reason gun violence has spiked in Chicago and elsewhere is that the police, under pressure from new rules or lawsuits, have retired or simply stepped back. The result is that neither police nor criminals are accountable. House Democrats are moving to a vote on the Protecting Our Kids Act, combining 8 separate gun control acts. As a soundbite, it seems simple, obvious, and straightforward. In practice, our too complex system degrades just about every public responsibility into nonfeasance. Why would gun control be different? So what he's getting at is that we have so many laws on the books. We have so many of these ideas about what we need to do in order to do something that we're clogging up the works with things that don't actually have an effect on the problem at hand. This recurring descent into political rage on the left and right has the makings of a systemic crisis, if we aren't there already. As public confidence ebbs, the appeal of demagoguery spreads past the fringe. And this part I find very, very well written, because he doesn't try to go into the kumbaya. Let's all hold hands. He says, this column won't end with an appeal for a placating bipartisanship. That's gone. This refusal to brook any reform of public sector performance created charter schools. It caused businesses like Tesla to leave California for Texas. It created Donald Trump. What an irony that is. While the opposition after 2016 went mad over Trump, orange man bad, they all got Trump derangement syndrome. The Trump government's Office of Management and Budget under Mick Mulvaney methodically undertook a reduction and rationalization of many federal rules. My larger point here is that something like that, basically a flushing out of the system sludge before more of the fed up public heads into the streets, is the only real answer. On taking office, Joe Biden reversed many of the reforms by what he calls the previous president. So we're back to do something that guarantees just one thing, more frustration. And that's for a lot of people. I mean, the Second Amendment is a huge part of this, but for a lot of people, we've just seen the dysfunction of government. And that plays into it too. You go, oh, so you're gonna make more laws that you're not gonna enforce? You're gonna make more laws that no one's gonna pay attention to? What good does that do? And as we're talking about sludge, and just bungling of issues, we should play this cut from Karine Jean-Pierre, because another crisis that's unfolding is this baby formula shortage. It's getting worse as the days go on. And despite the 3.7 bottles that Biden had flown in on a cargo plane. But let's take a listen to Karine Jean-Pierre. She can't answer this basic question about who briefed Joe Biden on the baby formula shortage. This is Cut 24.
To say there is no specific person is not a satisfactory answer. When you have senior assistants to the president, there's a paper trail, I'm sure, about briefings to the president. There's a domestic policy council. There's a chief of staff. At some point, we need to know who would have been the most likely person to talk to him about.
I think what I'm trying to say, there are so many issues that come up that is presented to the president. As you know, you've covered many administrations, and there are just regular channels that happen that go to the president.
It looks like it's evasive to not have the most senior people in the White House willing to say, I had a conversation with the president about it, or we talked about it in this context or that context. And we're also all reporting on the consumer side of it, of what you're doing, putting out and trying to get information. But we're also trying to understand the information flow in this White House. And it's important for us to get that answer, which is why we're going to keep asking it until we get that answer.
No, you have every right to keep asking. That's why I'm here. Look, really, Kellyo, he's briefed on countless priorities. He is the president of the United States. There are regular channels. He is briefed by his senior White House staff. And that is just the process that we have.
The chief of staff, then?
I'm not going to confirm who it was. I'm just letting you know that there are regular channels that we use.
This is insane. This is insane, Jared. We can't tell you who told the president about the baby formula shortage. That has to be shrouded in secrecy. Why? And I think I know the reason why. It's because he's probably not being told anything. This is probably actually just a scenario where we have a man who wanders out, reads from a teleprompter, and then goes into like a room and goes to sleep and eats pudding all day. That's the only logical reason that I can think of that she would refuse to answer who told the president of the United States that there's a baby formula shortage. When Trump was in office, if they didn't get every transcript of every phone call, if they didn't know every meal that he ate, there was hell to pay. And now we can't even figure out the flow of information. Because you know why we can't figure out the flow of information? Because there is no flow. Because no one tells Joe Biden anything, because what's the point of telling him anything? If he's not in charge of the decisions, if he's not in charge of whether he goes to Saudi Arabia, if he's not in charge of his Twitter, if he's not in charge of the events he goes to, what's the point of telling him anything? Really, he's not pulling any of these strings. He's not a decision maker in this White House.
I don't know what the hell's going on here.
He's a puppet. He's a pathetic puppet. And that's what she's basically admitting there. And they must not have any record of anyone. What they should have done is they should have just whispered it. So at least they could say, we said it to him. They should have just said, there's a baby formula shortage. He would go, what? Nothing, sir. I said, do you want tapioca pudding today or chocolate pudding? And that way they could at least write it down. But they clearly did not tell him. And I doubt they told Kamala either for totally different reasons. Not because she's not all there, but because also what difference at this point does it make to tell her? She can't fix it. I mean, unless you can fix the baby formula shortage by talking about the moon, I don't think that would have been much help. They're like, yeah, if we tell her about it, then she's going to lecture us about the stars all day. It's just going to clog up the works more, create more sludge. I like that word, sludge. And I'm going to add this on to one more thing, is that then in the same press briefing, they ask Biden's, I don't even know the titles at this point. It's like Biden's COVID coordinator. Does that sound right? Yeah, Chancellor.
That's the best we could.
Provost, whatever you want to call him. Assistant to the regional manager, whatever. He's a Biden hack. And they ask him about COVID and whether or not schools will be open in the fall. Now, he doesn't have handlers like Joe Biden, all those women who yell, thank you, move along. They only save that for Joe Biden. They can't have that on everybody, There's only so many resources they have. So Karine Jean-Pierre has to moonlight as a handler and cart this guy off the stage because she doesn't want him to answer the question of whether or not schools will be open in the fall. And I'm going to play this for you, but I would like you to remember the Trump pressers during COVID when he would sit there for hours and Fauci would go on for hours and Burks would go on for hours. And then Trump would get back up and go on for hours. And now they ask, are schools going to be open in the fall? And take a listen to this. Cut 20
seconds. Doctor, do you believe all schools will and must be open this coming fall?
Yeah. You have to go.
I enforced.
He has to go.
I'm sorry. Thank you. Sorry.
Wait, I have to go. She goes, you have to go. Yeah, we're overtime. We're overtime. Oh, I'm sure he's got a real busy schedule, Kareen. I'm sure he doesn't have a minute to spare. It's insane. It is so insulting that this is what it's come to. He has to go. He has to go. I'm sure he does. I'm sure he's got a lot of big stuff to handle. Dan, you're next up on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Dan.
Yeah, I have to agree with you, Grace, that he is definitely mentally bankrupt. And you really, with so many failures, you can't really expect him to tell you anything that's really important because he either can't remember or he just doesn't know. So I think a real big lie is I think that we're currently, you know, in a recession. I don't think many people talk about it, or maybe they have to be told that they're in one. But as far as I'm concerned, you can't get baby formula. You can't get parts. You can't get food. You look at your stock market, it's dropped out. There's so many things that are absolutely wrong with what's going on right now. I can't believe that people don't realize we're in a recession. And you got people like Jamie Dimon, Larry Summer, Elon Musk, the smart people, telling us all it's going to get worse.
Yeah, and you know what else you can't get? You know what else you can't get, Dan, and this is the most frustrating for me? You can't get, like you said, parts, chips, certain foods, baby formula, but you can't get answers. You can't get one flippin' answer from these people. Everything is, they ask a question. It could be a basic question. Who told Joe about the baby formula? Well, as we always say, and you're like, oh my gosh, we're going to get another lecture. No. It was a really simple question. Please do not go into this. Please do not give us another monologue about the importance of doing work that makes work important or whatever circles are going to start going around. I can't handle it anymore. The press briefings are so pointless. I mean, they've always been pretty pointless, but they're especially pointless now because every time you ask a question, you get this like vague Instagram quote about life and the importance of friendship. What that has to do with who told Joe Biden about the baby formula shortage or are schools going to open in the fall, I don't really know. I don't follow this flow of information. Maybe I'm just not smart enough. By the way, Father's Day is coming up and I have a great gift for Dad. I know I'm getting my dad this gift. He's going to love it. And it's a little gift-giving wisdom from me to you. You've got to check out Omaha Steaks. Dad wants steaks, and that's actually the name of this special deal. With Father's Day around the corner, there isn't a better gift than Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com and type Grace in the search bar and order the Dad's Want Steaks package. Now, this is just $99, Jared. The amount of meat you're getting for $99, it blew my mind because I had to pick up a couple pizzas yesterday and everything is so expensive now. And to think that for $99, you're getting enough food for a very long time and it's good quality. It's really good meat. And I can't imagine how much this would cost you in a store.
Yeah. And if you could even find these things in the store,
I think you could.
Bacon wrap, filet chicken. You couldn't find chicken anywhere Memorial Day weekend. No store had chicken. Pork chops.
Jumbo Franks.
Yeah, those are fantastic. I'm actually going to do the pork chops tonight. We went out last night, but tonight we're going to do the pork chops. I'm really looking forward to it. This is delicious quality meat. And you know what? For $99 for all that meat?
And to have it delivered to your door, you don't have to go out and search for it. You know, you don't have to pick through the meat and try to find the ones you want. You're getting the best quality delivered right to your door. And as a special gift for my listeners, this is why I want you guys to hop on this right now. When you type Grace in the search bar and order the Dad's Want Steak package, you'll also get 8 free Omaha Steak burgers. These burgers are delicious. I cooked them up. I think it was 2 nights ago I had the burgers. Delicious burgers. Make sure you check this out. And don't wait. You want to send your dad a great gift for Father's Day and send him an experience he can share with everybody else. Go to omahasteaks.com, type in Grace into the search bar, and order the Dad's Want Steak package. He'll receive 16 entrees, 4 desserts, plus 8 free Omaha burgers. That's omahasteaks.com. Search word Grace. We'll be right back with your calls. This is the Grace Curley Show.
Follow Grace on Twitter at @G_Curley. She's the friend you never knew you needed.
What? Did we just become best friends?
Yep.
Okay, make that best friend. It's Grace Curley.
Today's poll question is brought to you by the Grace Curley Show store. Just in time for Father's Day, buy one shirt and get one half off. This buy one, get one half off sale is for today only, so go to gracecurlyshow.com and click store to order your t-shirts for dad today. Limit 2 per order. What is the poll question, Jared, and what are the results thus far?
Do you think there's an economic hurricane coming?
Yes, there's a hurricane. It's blowing in. I can feel it.
Down to 94% now who believe the hurricane is coming.
Oh, a few optimists out there. Very good. Joe Biden has officially started voting in the 17 Nobel laureates.
Yes, they're looking at their savings account just going up and up and up because of Joe, and they say, you know what? There's no storm coming.
Sometimes when I look at this economy, I know Elon Musk said it's super bad, but you know what I think when I see it? I think it's robust.
I'm sorry, who said that?
Elon Musk.
Oh, I thought you meant Elon Musk.
Well, let me tell you, wow, Elon Musk is talking about that.
Elon Musk. We'll get to Elon Musk's comments and Joe Biden's dismissive nature towards the billionaire genius who invented Tesla. Nick, you're next up on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Nick.
Hi, this is dedicated to the ignorant, the stupid, and the liars. People who pay attention to, I don't know, Cavuto, Bloomberg, whatever. When it comes to the monthly jobs report, they don't really give you the monthly jobs report. It used to be a week by week. There are 4 weeks, typically, 4.5 financial weeks in a fiscal month. Anyway, 390,000 jobs, well, 128,000, 33%. Were for private jobs. That means what were the rest? Let me think. City, state, federal government. What profit return on investment do we get out of them? I think we know the answer to that. So the rest, 67%, that's what that lump is. But what they really don't tell you is they mentioned 200,000 edged down weekly job claims. Let me tell you, weekly job claims were over 800,000 jobs. So if you lost 800,000, what the hell good are 390,000 new jobs? A lot of them, by the way, that we know, as I just said, public jobs. Well, in the 128,000, well, gee, let me think. Are there any kids just starting at Taco Bell, camp counselor this summer, et cetera, et cetera? Those are seasonally adjusted jobs. So the jobs report is the biggest bunch of crap. And I'm sorry to say that. And if you really are interested, anybody, look for the Labor Department. We have to believe what they say. Don't look at the translation of those other people that I said, what you hear on local news, et cetera. They have no idea.
Well, let's play, Nick, let's play a little bit of Marty Walsh, the labor secretary on MSNBC. This is Cut 28.
Talk quickly, if you can, Secretary, about wage growth versus inflation, especially after we see this jobs report coming out early this morning.
Well, wage growth didn't really grow this month that much, so we didn't see a big growth like we've seen in other areas. And inflation, I think, Nick, trickled down about 0.1% last month. So we still have a gap between the wages that people are earning, more wages that people are earning now, and what inflation is.
You know, my dad made this call a while ago. He said Marty Walsh looks the most competent in this administration just by the fact alone that he just goes by the numbers and doesn't try to put like this weird philosophical spin on all of this news. He just says the numbers out, and therefore you look at him and you're like, wow, this dude is killing it.
Yeah, very Belichickian in his approach.
But that's what you should be doing. I mean, at least he can admit it. The rest of them are trying to convince us, no, everything's wonderful. This is historic. This is historic. They've never seen numbers like this before. By the way, I'm going to play that cut from Elon Musk talking about he has a super bad feeling about the economy. He clearly does not understand how robust it is, according to Joe Biden. And also, when we get back, we'll continue to take your calls. I have something to add in here about Karine Jean-Pierre's comments on the baby formula shortage. I just thought about it over the break. It's 844-500-4242. And maybe we'll end the week with a little talk about Harry and Meghan and the Jubilee. Don't go anywhere.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria Studio.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. A grand jury has indicted former Trump advisor Peter Navarro for contempt of Congress. We'll keep you posted on this story. Fox News is covering it now. I'm sure Howie will cover it during his show as well. I wanted to bring up something. I'm sorry. My thoughts today are just there's so much news and there's so many of these sound cuts. And there's a lot of frustration out there, including in my own head, trying to grapple with all of this. And all of this hypocrisy that's coming out of the White House. And I wanted to read you a quote. This is from August 27, 2020. Joe Biden, then candidate Joe Biden, tweeted, "Remember, every example of violence Donald Trump decries has happened on his watch, under his leadership, during his presidency." And it just got me thinking, you know.
Oh, boy.
I say this all the time, and I do mean it, that we cannot blame each other for the acts of crazy people, for the violent, unhinged behavior of a nutcase. We have to condemn that person and that behavior, but we can't shift the blame to an entire group of people. But what I'm tired of is that when Joe Biden's running for president and violence occurs, he can blame Trump and he can blame all Republicans. And when violence happens when Democrats are in control, he can blame all of Republicans again. Stop with the blame game. Because you told us it was all our fault when we were in power, and now you're telling us it's all our fault when you're in power. And those two things, again, it's like you can't have it all the ways all the time. That was just a side note. All right, let's go to the calls here. Adam, you're next up on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Adam.
Thanks, Grace. You know, I'm confused like a lot of people. It's frustrating. Very frustrating. You know, the last 2 years, we have COVID, and I don't know who got the blame for that, but it's almost like Kool-Aid. That was the Kool-Aid that everybody took in America, because we're so dumbed down now. No one seems to see what's going on. I mean, how could we have a baby formula that went awry? No one takes responsibility, and everybody wants to protect their jobs. Nobody tells the truth anymore, especially in politics, in the White House. And I think it's frustrating everybody. I think even if you're a Democrat, how can you be proud of this president? I mean, you can't. There's no justification for being, he's doing a good job, blah, blah. He's doing a crappy job. And whoever's pulling the strings behind him is doing a crappy job. I think America's going to wake up before it's just too darn late.
Sorry, I agree. I agree, Adam, and I'm glad you brought up COVID, because throughout the last couple of weeks, the talk of COVID has really gone down. And I read today in the Post-Millennial that there's a county in California where they're reinstating the indoor mask mandate. And as you heard earlier with Karine Jean-Pierre not letting that Biden's COVID advisor speak about whether or not schools would be open in the fall. So they're not letting this one go from their arsenal either. Don't forget about that. I mean, this idea that we're past COVID is not true. And I think that when you watch the media and how they cover things, it's twice as insulting, because you realize that they'll really only play up these variants when it's beneficial towards them, when they think it's Americans need a distraction. And I'm not saying anything else in the news right now, like whether it be the economy and all the violence, like that stuff is newsworthy and that should be covered. But it does tell you a lot that when that stuff comes up, they drop COVID like a hot potato. Like they have no time for it. But there is, you know, some counties are bringing back the masks. On that similar note of talking about Karine Jean-Pierre, I want to replay that cut, Jared, because there's something I noticed. I have a pet peeve with these press secretaries when they, and Jen Psaki was famous for this, they have to make it clear to the American people that they are tight with the press, that they are friends, that they go way back. Like Jen will say, well, You know, Emily, I've worked with you for a long time. As she points her hands like this, because that shows you that she knows what she's doing when she moves her arms up and down. But they always have to make it clear, we're in this little clique, you know, we're in this elite group. You're not included. We're the Beltway hacks. We all, you know, we're buddy-buddy behind the scenes. They have my back. I have their back. This is all just pretend. We go back and forth for your sake. And Karine Jean-Pierre learned from Jen Psaki. She didn't learn much from her, but she learned this from her. And when Kelly O'Donnell from NBC was asking her the question, I want you to listen to what she called Kelly.
Can we please? Basic. Mm-hmm. To not have the most senior people in the White House willing to say, I had a conversation with the president about it, or we talked about it in this context or that context. And we're also all reporting on the consumer side of it, of what you're doing, putting out and trying to get information. But we're also trying to understand the information flow in this White House, and it's important for us to get that answer, which is why we're going to keep asking it until we get that answer.
No, you have every right to keep asking. That's why I'm here. Look, really, Kelly O, he's briefed on countless...
Kelly O. That's because they're tight besties. It's Kelly O'Donnell from NBC, but she calls her Kelly O because they go way back.
K-Dub.
And listen, why do you got to ask these questions? Listen, you know me. I know you. We go way back. You know what we're trying to do here. You know, and at this point, it's like, why even have these? Because you guys know that I'm good and, you know, I'm a Democrat and you're all Democrats. And, you know, we can just write what you usually write. We got to go back and forth like this.
Well, was this yesterday or 2 days ago? I can't remember if it was Kelly O or, you know, Peter Deuce of Earl or whoever, whatever his nickname is.
Peter D.
Peter D, the Deuce. She said, well, if you need a follow-up, you can call me. You have my email. Oh, yeah. You have my cell phone number.
I didn't even end up playing that because right? There's so many ridiculous cuts. Yeah. She goes, you can call me directly. I'm like, what about us? Can we call you directly? I would like that number. If that's the only way that you can get answers. She's like, oh, wait, you're asking me a question when I'm at the podium, which this whole thing is meant for the public to be able to get their questions answered. The press is trying to represent them. They do a terrible job at it. But I can't answer the questions now when everyone's watching on their televisions and needs the answers, but I'll answer your question if you call me later on my personal line. How does that make any sense?
Text me and I'll give you the tales. I don't know whether people say deets, but I like to say
deets. We'll go and get a glass of Chardonnay and we'll talk it over. Okay, girlfriend. Talk to you later. Bye. I mean, it's just ridiculous. And Jen Psaki used to do the same thing. Okay. Okay, girlfriend. We'll talk later. Okay, man. Talk to you soon. It's just, it's insane. All right. On a separate note.
Have your margarita.
Go to your kickboxing class. No worries. We should play the cut about Elon Musk, or as Joe now calls him, Eon Musk. Can I have cut 16, please?
Elon Musk has said that he has a super bad feeling about the U.S. economy. He's laying off 10% of his workforce. What do you say to Elon Musk about his feeling about the economy? Jamie Dimon has said similar things.
Well, let me tell you, while Elon Musk is talking about that, Ford is increasing their investment overwhelmingly. I think Ford is increasing the investment in building new electric vehicles, 6,000 new employees, union employees, I might add, in the Midwest. The former Chrysler Corporation, Stellantis, they are also making similar investments in electric vehicles. Intel is adding 20,000 new jobs for making computer chips. Lots of luck on his trip to the moon.
He's got to stop with the,
you're going to the moon!
His attempts to be, like, snarky, like he's a wise guy. It's really not the move right now. I never found it charming. Call me crazy. I don't find Joe Biden all that charming.
A wise guy, eh?
But right now, and you've got parents who can't find baby formula, when you've got people who can't put food on the table. Remember that kitchen table, Joe, that used to sit around? People are struggling with that.
I brought that up again today.
Yeah, we should play that just for... You know what we should have, Jared, in the office? We should have one of those signs. And instead of saying, like, it's been blank amount of days since there's been an injury in the office or whatever people write, it should say, it's been blank amount of days since Joe Biden's mentioned the kitchen table. We'd have to erase it every single day. Start over.
We're going to have a kitchen table jar instead of a swear jar. Everybody drops.
I can't take the kitchen table anymore. I really can't. Let's play it. Just put me out of my misery.
And I understand the feeling. I grew up in a family about 100 miles from here that where the price of gas went up, you felt it. It was a discussion at the kitchen table.
I'm starting to believe the kitchen table thing's a lie. I don't even know if they sat around the kitchen table. I can't believe anything
he says
anymore.
Didn't even have a kitchen, poor deluded Joe.
All right, Jared, do you mind if just for a minute we go off politics? It's been a really long week as far as politics go. Can we just talk about the Royals? Can we do a royal update?
I wish a lot of luck to Harry, because he's going to need it.
The famously insane European monarchies of the 19th and 20th centuries.
Hello, cheeky. You is much fitter than you look in them coins.
Now, right as I say that, I realize I did have one other thing I wanted to get to, and I apologize. Before the royal update,
Bollocks.
Real quick. This is from David Hogg. Did not think that I would be agreeing with David Hogg on something. He says, non-Americans should not come here until our country does something about gun safety. Your kids are not safe here and neither are you. Please request that your government put out a travel advisory to your citizens telling them it is not safe for citizens to visit the U.S. To which everyone on Twitter wrote, so do you want us to build a wall? Question mark. David didn't like that. I just had to get that in there because if Howie got to that before I did, I would be mad. All right, now on to the Royals. Have you been watching any of the Jubilee, Jared?
Just what I see on Fox or Newsmax when they show.
So the Queen was not at some of these events today. She's not feeling that well, so we hope she's doing better. But Meghan and Harry were there. They were not sitting in the active royal section, like if you're a royal on duty. They were kind of in the, they were with Beatrice and Eugenie and kind of, you know, over there on the other side. I have some thoughts on this. Also, they got booed when they were leaving church. I think that if you're gonna, I don't want to say stab your grandmother in the back. That's kind of strong. But if you're gonna turn on your family, which is what they did, they went on Oprah, they turned on the family. The least you can do is stay home for something like this. Because now it's just incredibly uncomfortable. You're getting booed outside the church. You're not really sitting with everyone. Your brother's not super stoked you're there because they all don't get along with Meghan and Harry anyway. It's just awkward. And it feels awkward when Harry leaves somewhere. It just feels uncomfortable.
Look, you decided you didn't want the royal life. Live with your conviction. And don't show up.
Yeah, don't show up. If you hate the royals that much, if you hated this way of life, then you don't get to come when it's the 70th Jubilee and One Direction's going to perform or whoever, Elton John's going to sing a song. That to me is like the worst. Put your money where your mouth is. Okay, you don't want to be part of the family? Fine. But when Elton John shows up and he's going to do a little ditty on the piano, you don't get to come get a front row seat. No, no. And guess what? People are going to boo you. And sometimes there's nothing more powerful than getting booed. Because it's what the people feel, you know? You can put out all the puff pieces, all the Netflix pieces, all the Spotify podcasts, whatever, make millions of dollars. But you're getting booed, bro. You're getting booed. On a side note, I did hear that Kim Kardashian also couldn't get an invite. So the Queen is just, she is not to be trifled with.
It's her 70th Jubilee. She's like 100. She doesn't need Kim Kardashian hanging around.
She's like, this is about me, Kim. I don't need you coming here in a Marilyn Monroe dress trying to upstage me on my big birthday weekend. I know it's not her birthday. It's 70 years on the throne, but still, it feels like a birthday party. I just thought that was interesting with Harry. Like, I don't understand. If you left the royal family and you sold them out and you did this whole entire thing with Oprah, then leave. Don't come back for little parties. It just feels pathetic.
And if, you know, you want to send the grandson with a nanny or something like that. If the Queen wants her great-grandson, great-great-grandson.
I don't know.
I don't know what lineage is. But yes, if the Queen wants the great-grandson there, Send the great grandson with a nanny.
Well, I was talking to the mailroom manager about this today, and she said, you know, it was kind of a no win for him. If he doesn't go, he looks like a jerk. But if he goes, he looks like a thirst monster. But I think not going would have been better.
The mailroom manager used the term thirst monster.
No, I'm taking creative license.
That's amazing.
Get her in here. No. That's just my take on it. 844-500-4242. We are going to announce the gas winner right now before we go to Howie. Oh, and can I play, Jared, one cut? Can I play the cut? This Matt Walsh film looks excellent. I'm going to watch it over the weekend, I think. He's interviewing experts in the transgender community, and he's asking this one woman, she's an expert, about puberty blockers. Her name is Dr. Michelle Forcier, cut 22.
medical transition begin with medication?
So medical affirmation begins when the patient says they're ready for it. So that could be a kiddo who is just starting puberty and panicking because they're getting breast buds or their penis is getting bigger and busier and they're worried about all kinds of masculine changes. And that way, puberty blockers, which are completely reversible and don't have permanent effects, are wonderful because we can put that pause on puberty. Just like if you were listening to music, you put the pause on and we stop the blockers and puberty would go right back to where it was. The next note in the song just delayed that period of time.
Now, I would love a fact checker in the medical community to tell us, do you believe that these puberty blockers are completely reversible and have no permanent effects? Yes or no? Because I think if you're in the medical community and you lie on that one, then we're in deep trouble. There's no way people really believe this.
Also disturbing that she used the term kiddos.
The whole thing, the movie just seems like it's insane that he got people to go on record spewing this nonsense. It's really insane. Today's Gas Money winner is Melissa from North Reading, Mass. Congratulations, you won $50 from the Great Curly Show.
You did it!
Keep an eye out for an email from store@HowieCarShow.com if you want to enter to win. Go to GraceCurlyShow.com and enter your email. We'll be right back with Howie Carr.
Hi, it's Toby from Cape Gunworks. I'm taking all your firearm and self-defense questions every Tuesday. Join Grace and me for 2A Tuesday. Tuesdays at 2 p.m.
This is the Grace Curley Show.
Is OPEC doing enough on oil production?
Well, what I recently read is talking to my team that they acknowledge that there is an oil shortage, and they have made an announcement of late that they're going to increase production. So I don't know enough to know whether it's enough, but I know it's positive.
I don't know enough to know whether it's enough, but I know it's positive. Wow, spoken like a real leader, Howie.
Spoken about as articulately as his press secretary.
Yeah, this is just really, really frightening stuff, Howie. What are you going to focus on today? Because there's so many disasters to focus on. Which one are you? I see you have a prop here. We don't usually have props in the studio. Could you explain, sir?
That's the magic eight ball.
I love a magic eight ball.
I probably smoke more Parmesan cheese than anyone.
Not that kind of
different eight ball.
This is a future predicting magic eight ball.
Oh, but they didn't require an eight ball. They said a crystal ball, but you think they would?
Well, I think an eight ball is just in the same league, you
okay.
know?
Here we go. I'm going to ask it a question. Will Howie Carr have an unbelievable show today full of entertainment and mystery?
Signs point to yes.
This eight ball's... Oh, okay, here we go. Hold on. Howie, you got a vamp while I try to get this answer. Oh, it's hard to read it, Howie. This is I don't know, Taylor. This eight ball's a little flunky. This is like Joe Biden's eight ball.
I think you may be ready to work at the White House if you can't figure out. Do you need to read the entrails of a chicken?
A chicken? Maybe I do.
Why don't you need to check out to see what your astrological sign is? It is written in the stars. It will be a great
chickens.
Show.
Chickens.
All right, everyone. I'll be back next week. Thank you for tuning in. Howie Carr is coming up next.